This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
I remember when I was studying in Syria, I used to have to go through the souk Hamidiyya, which is the main souk, very classical old covered souk. You had to go through that. That was the shortest way from where the taxi dropped you off to get to Jami' al-Umawi. And there's this guy on the right-hand side towards the end, and he used to, I don't know what he said, there was this expression all day. He would be selling these clothes. And there's this expression, everybody knew him in the market for making that statement. I can't remember, but it's like all day long he is making that expression, all day long. I don't know what he's saying. It's this weird word. Just keep saying it. Some people do that to kind of become known and associate themselves with a certain product. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. We were discussing speaking less, spoken less. And he was discussing how easy it is to speak and say things and get carried away. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. And then he says, necessary speech is fine. Did we discuss explanation of necessary? What is necessary speech? Okay. Necessary here means a need that if refrained from will result in harm. So you shouldn't then say, man samata naja, whoever stayed silent, saved himself, so somebody's going to go to their death, I shouldn't say anything. Like, why should I get involved for? Therefore, if by refraining from a certain conversation, the result is some worldly or religious harm, then such talk will be necessary. So not just a religious harm, but even a worldly harm that you're causing somebody, you're not, you know, and somebody's going to go to their detriment, then you should speak. An example of necessary talk is the conversation that a trader has with customers in order to promote his sales. As long as you're not lying and not overdoing it and not giving false guarantees. I got a call this morning from a person who was asking about a particular form of speech manipulation where you use certain language, certain words, certain expressions while making certain gestures. What that does is that is seen to psychologically motivate somebody to consider you, for example, to be an authority, if you're trying to sell your service, or to encourage them to buy the product. It's just certain psycholinguistic words that you use, which hit at the right time in an emotional way, and it makes them loosen up and buy something from you. Does anybody remember what it's called? I forget what it's called.
Neuro-linguistic programming, Ustad.
Yeah, neuro-linguistic, so NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So he's asking whether that's halal or not. So I said there's nothing wrong with it as long as you're not being deceptive. It's just the means. It's just the efficient means. It's just the tried and tested means. It's just balagha. It's just inna min al-bayani la-sihr. That part of speech is magical. If you figure out ways to convince people, that's great. As long as you're not convincing them of the wrong thing. As long as you're not deceiving them. As long as you're not forcing them to buy something that they don't want or they don't need, that is harmful for them, then it's that the means itself is not a problem. It's just what you do with it, which is an issue. I think some people have an issue that they think that it's some kind of hypnotism or it's some kind of jinn or it's some kind of sorcery or bewitching somebody. It's not. But it does sound close to it. That's why the Prophet said, in the middle, bayan la sihra. So an example, then he says, necessary conversation of this kind has absolutely no detrimental effect on the heart. The heart does not darken the slightest bit by necessary talk. Necessary, not mubah, but necessary. The illustrious Gnostics have found that even a full day spent in necessary talk would not adversely affect the heart. Like they've actually tried and tested it and, oh, my heart has not changed. An auctioneer can spend the entire day in selling by means of talking. He has to 20, 20, 20, 25, 25, 25. You know, you wonder if they do that at night. in their sleep because they're so used to it, right? But such talk will not darken the heart one iota because such talk is necessary. On the other hand, a single statement spoken unnecessarily will darken the heart. I remember when I was studying in Syria, I used to have to go through the souk hamidiya, which is the main souk, very classical old covered souk. You had to go through that. That was the shortest way from where the taxi dropped you off to get to Jami al-Umawi. And there's this guy on the right-hand side towards the end, and he used to, I don't know what he said, there was this expression all day. He would be selling these clothes. And there's this expression, everybody knew him in the market for making that statement. I can't remember, but it's like all day long he is making that expression, all day long. I don't know what he's saying, is this weird word, just keep saying it. Some people do that to kind of become known and associate themselves with a certain product. I don't know if that's detrimental or what, because he's literally saying that for 10 hours a day, for example. There's no purpose behind it, like at least in a auction, there's response and there's a reaction and so on. Here, this is literally just saying the same, like the barking of a dog. Now, instead of that, as we've said before, we just said, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, salli ala Sayyidina, salli ala Nabi, salli ala Nabi. There'd be some benefits. But I'm not going to say what he's doing is haram either, because that's his way of attracting people. There's so many shops. So rather than having all of these touts that go out and try to push you in, like right now in Saudi, compared to 10 years ago, even 10 years ago, the perfume shops have just exploded. Just like in England, dessert places have exploded. Where there used to be three or four companies, main companies before, three, four, five maximum, now there's like 30 companies. Every second or third shop is a perfume shop because this is all luxury. People have lots of money. That's why they're able to. And what happens is that as you're going past these places, the touts from inside, they literally stand in the middle and they shove perfume into your hand or into your mouth, in your face. And even if they don't get it, that you don't have time. So they'll follow you and they'll say, just try it. It's for free. Take this at least. And the problem is that it creates a bit of a religious conundrum because you shouldn't refuse perfume. And you go past there five times a day, they'll do the same thing because they don't know who's going past, who's not, because they're just doing it to everybody. Now, that's why I think that there's a bit of a hassle in that, because you're hassling people, you're doing isra'aj, you're definitely doing isra'aj, you're coming in people's way. So at least this guy is not doing that, he's just attracting your attention. You can just ignore that though. The Sharia's prescription for reducing speech does not mean sealing the mouth completely, otherwise Allah wouldn't have given us a mouth. But it envisages that the tongue be kept occupied with the recitation of the majestic Qur'an or with remembrance of Allah Most High. In this way, the struggle to reduce speech would be more beneficial. Meaning, a lot of people have to say something. You know, a lot of people have to say something. So Allah says, or what the book says is, have a replacement. Say something good. That way, so there's somebody I know who's really, really big. And he used to eat a lot. Lots. And then finally, what happened is that the doctors warned him that if he doesn't do something about it, he's going to have a liver. He's going to have to go on that blood renewal dialysis. So then what he did was he got his stomach tied. So now he can't eat much. But psychologically, he still has to have something coming through. So you know what he does now? He has like 20 cups of tea a day. Drink tea. Just keeps drinking. He says, I have to do it psychologically. I'm just so used to putting something down. I can't do food anymore. There has to be drink. So sometimes it becomes a psychological habit. And you have to kick that somehow. That's why he's saying that if it's a psychological habit that you like talking too much, and some people do, they just have to find better things to talk about. I've sat with different ulama, and some are very silent. They don't do small talk. There's others, mashallah. I remember I traveled with somebody who's a khalifa of someone else from, I think it was London, a conference to up north. For the 3.5-4 hours, he kept us entertained with anecdotes, religious anecdotes. Some people can do that. They give you lots of really, but that's just their way of the gift of the gab. Alhamdulillah. At least they're not wasting time saying other stuff. So it's religious banter, you could say.
That's absolutely.
Yeah.
The opposite.
Yeah, Sufi Sahib is Qaleel. Qaleelul Kalam. Mawlana Fazlul Haq Sahib, when you get him started, he can. But he's not. That's just because he likes to share. He's not a talkative person usually. He's not somebody who will just go on about stuff. There's some people that can't help going on. They have to talk. And some people, I don't know how they do it. They can literally start a conversation and continue a conversation with anybody. With anybody. With a newcomer for half an hour, no problem. Or more. I can't do that. You have to find a common goal. You struggle sometimes. There's a good and bad of everything. Anyway, in this way, the struggle to reduce speech will be most beneficial. By means of this struggle, the tongue remains detached from sin. The habit of nonsensical discussion is reduced or eliminated. And along with it, limitless spiritual rewards are obtained. By constantly engaging the tongue in remembrance, such benefits are reaped, which are unobtainable by remaining silent. So he gives us an amazing. Now, he says, what is the remedy of speaking too much? Prior to speaking, ponder for a few moments. It's very difficult. Prior to speaking, think for a few minutes. It's so difficult. Because people just speak spontaneously if you're used to speaking. Endeavor to understand whether Allah Most High, who is the hearing and seeing, will be pleased or displeased with what you are about to say. So if you find that difficult, the only way you can sort this out is after you've spoken. Then at least regret it and introspect. Slowly, slowly, if we do that each time that we've gone overboard, then that will actually help us retrospectively actually control ourselves before speaking. Otherwise, it's very difficult to start controlling yourself before speaking unless we reflect over it after speaking too much each time. If this method of contemplation is adopted before speaking and then the lower self urges one to indulge in sinful or nonsensical talk, confront it with courage and suppress the urge. A lot of the time, I will say, I can say this, I've got lots to say, but I'm not going to say it because I don't think there's a benefit in saying it. I can't see how it's going to help somebody. I think it's just going to spark off a bigger discussion, which I don't want to get into. So that's something else that you can think about. Is there benefit in what you're going to say? You know, a lot of the time you can say things to act wise or to look wise or to have a wisecrack or a joke or make humor or make somebody laugh. Sometimes you need to do that. I think sometimes humans do that. It's just cut it down so that you don't do it all the time. In Shama'il Tirmidhi, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sit with the Sahaba and reminisce over old times. Like, yes, this is what we used to do. This is what we used to do. It's okay to do that sometimes because it's a memory. You can contrast with that, where we were, where we are now. Or good old days, or, you know. But then I think they were always better days, isn't it? Because that was a constant increase. For us, a lot of the time, it's actually getting worse. Like, those were the good days, and now these are the bad days. So you can do reflective banter. Not all banter is bad. The main thing is we just have to see, is this going to be justified or not? Am I going to be allowed that? I was so bored. I just need to speak about something just to refresh my mind. That I can get back to studies, for example. If the talk involves abuse or mockery of anyone or scandalizing gossip about anybody, then after repenting, seek the pardon of the person concerned as well. So now this same person this morning asked the question that I'm sitting in a gathering, somebody makes a little joke, seemingly harmless or whatever, of somebody else. That guy doesn't like it. But it's so funny, I can't help laughing. What do I do in that sense? So number one, if you can't help laughing and you've laughed, you can't control yourself, you've already laughed. So I said, well, just tell him I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. I'm really sorry. It was just so funny, but I didn't mean to laugh. But then he didn't want to do that because I think it was just too much effort or whatever. I said, well, that's fine. Then just wait until the hereafter, sort it out then. You'd rather just sort it out now, right? Sometimes that happens. You might have said something or somebody may have said something. You just, you know, it's best just to say, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to laugh, but it was just so. And hopefully he sees that. You might turn around and say, no, why did you laugh for? Please forgive me. You can only do so much, right? But it's better than trying to have to deal with it in the hereafter. If for some reason it's difficult to obtain the necessary pardon, example, a person concerned may be away or may have died, then seek Allah's forgiveness for the person concerned as well as for oneself. Another thing is that if you think that seeking pardon is just going to make it worse, then in that case, it's the same answer here as well. Instead of that, ask Allah for forgiveness for the person concerned as well as for oneself. Such forgiveness could be asked in the following way. Oh Allah, forgive us and forgive him. Our master, Sheikh Fariduddin Attar, may Allah have mercy on him, explained most beautifully, perfectly, and comprehensively the benefits of maintaining silence. He said, nothing nobler than silence enters my mind. What does silence enter the mind? It's almost like it's constantly talking, but then silence enters it. Shouldn't it be silent by default? And something else comes in. Since silence contains so many benefits that they cannot be explained, silence makes breasts the treasure house of pearls of wisdom. Because when you're silent, you think more, because your mind has to be active. If we expend it in saying something, which is usually going to be just redundant talk, then we have lost that opportunity. Rather, if you stay silent and you observe and you reflect, and hopefully if you reflect in the right way, then many wisdoms will come to the fore. I learned this hidden secret from the oyster shell, he said. Now, a drop of water enclosed in the oyster shell is transformed into a pearl because it remains enclosed. It's not used or whatever, so then it just turns into, that's what he's saying. Similarly, a man's breast becomes a treasure house for pearls of wisdom by means of closing his lips. That doesn't mean you don't say anything at all. So with that ends that chapter. The next one is the section on how to eat less. May Allah make that easy as well.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khair, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules, and at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khair, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.